Hi, I'm Mike.
This is Manny.
And this is Bytecast, a podcast about tech stuff and why you should care. Today, we're going to talk about why data is important and why you probably don't care. I can easily say that we're old enough to remember the days when, we would have to tell everybody to be off the phone line because, you know, we're using the internet, we're dialing up. And, when scrolling marquees on web pages were cool.
Oh, you have to mention scrolling marquees, right?
And bling tags. Come on. Those are like the epitome of like web pages back in the 90s.
Oh, gosh.
And then suddenly, the world had all these different kind of services. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, you had this, the Facebooks, the Apples, the Amazons, the Netflix, the Googles.
I think you forgot MySpace in there somehow.
I probably subscribed to like all of them back then. But that's kind of what we want to talk about in this podcast. So let's just jump right ahead, right into this. So which of these do you subscribe to? I'm like Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, Google. Well,
I think the big thing is this. When it comes to all of these services, I follow all of them. That's what I do.
Same.
Right? Like when it comes to Google, I don't have a choice.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
It comes to Apple. Yeah, it's the kind of service where had it from the beginning and I'm going to have it now. Mm-hmm. Everybody's using it. Well, hey, got to have it too, right? Mm-hmm. When it comes to Amazon, I'll be honest, they're the disruptor. Mm-hmm. And, we can get into that a lot later. We can probably have a whole podcast just about Amazon, to be quite honest with you.
Right.
But it's almost getting to a point now where they're pushing everything and they're pushing the industry. And it's almost kind of like, well, hey, you don't use Amazon? What's wrong with you?
And during that conversation, we can probably get something from Amazon Prime in the process.
I'm actually thinking about that. Are you listening, Amazon? Right? If you want, you can send a product straight off to you. But in any case, I'm going to skip over Facebook for a second. I don't want to come back to that. But when it comes to Netflix now, Netflix is another story. What's happened? Cord cutters, cable, everything has changed when it's come to how we watch TV, how we consume media. And I can tell you in my household, the day I went to Netflix is the day when I watched everybody sitting around basically on their devices and basically not watching a TV. So it's kind of like, well, why am I paying for this? So, Netflix is another one. Now, Facebook, it's a little bit of a sore spot, but you know what? Let's just say I use Facebook out of necessity.
Okay.
But I have my issues.
But on the other hand, I mean, we probably both have other social media accounts.
I do have other. Look, there's a lot of social media to go around. We have all types of things. You have your Snapchat, which, I have an account. Do I really use it? Yeah. But, people are going to have different things. You have Instagram. Sounds like Facebook. You could have WhatsApp. Sounds like Facebook. Again, you kind of get where I'm going.
Yeah.
Facebook seems to be kind of everywhere. So really, in a sense, it's not only Facebook. It's Facebook plus all of the other things that they control.
Right. And the fact that they all have seem to be kind of buying up each other, they're all kind of clumped together. But we'll get into Facebook in a bit just because it's a bigger topic. So going down the rabbit hole, if we just take a look at Facebook and Google, because they're kind of all everywhere,
as
you said before, what are the first kind of things that come to your head? In my mind, number one, I think free services. I mean, you think of Google.
Well,
Yeah.
You really need to key into the keyword.
Yeah.
Free.
Yeah.
And I think that's the big thing. Free. We've gotten used to it. And we've gotten used to everything being free.
Well, it's so easy to set up that Gmail account, put everything on the free calendar, use the Google Docs and the Google Sheets.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Do you remember when the AOL desk used to be mailed out to you?
Right.
Yeah, we're not with that anymore. It's all about just get your email account. It's free. Get your social media. It's free.
Everything is free.
That's right. Edit your photos. It's free. But I think we both know in the end, it's not 100% free. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's free because we need to feed the machine.
And that's the key. Yes.
There you go. And that's the thing. When it comes to actual free services, I think the one thing that people fail to realize is that we're trying to make that connection. Like Google wants us, you know, they need us. Mm-hmm. You know, we always talk about, well, hey, you know, you're going to pay for this, you can pay for that. And you're thinking, well, geez, you know, I have all of these things that are free and I'm used to it. But you got to understand why you've gotten used to it. And the thing is, Google needs us. Mm-hmm. They need us for our data. That's the big thing. And I think that's the big takeaway is the data, right? The machine needs more data. And it needs more information.
And that's the thing that most people don't realize is that every email, every calendar invite, every kind of message, and we're going to get into Facebook in a bit, that it's all data that's good for them, regardless if it's like, you know, you're sharing your cousin's birthday pictures or you're sending emails about that same invite.
Yep.
You know, it's all feeding that big machines.
It's funny, in my mind I'm thinking actually about a scene from Interstellar, and I don't know if you remember Dr. Mann. I'm going to nerd out a little bit here, but you know Dr. Mann, and he said, what does it need? What? And he says, it needs more. And he said, more data. And he says, you know, it's that's what it is, more information. And the more information that we're feeding to it, it's the more that Google's able to get out of it. Do you remember Google Voice?
Google Voice.
I don't want to go on a tangent, but do you remember Google Voice? So you remember at one point, I think it was mostly in the U.S. where they were giving you a free phone number. It's free.
Right.
Yeah, why don't you have one? Everybody was getting a free phone number, right?
Yeah.
Come on. You really think it was free? What do you think we were actually doing? We were training.
Yeah.
That's all we were doing. Google was giving you a free phone number. You would think that's expensive.
Yeah.
Well, no. From their point of view, what do you have now? You have the Google Assistant.
Right.
It's now able to understand different dialects, different voices, all that. You're giving information. Now, what's happening with that information? We get a general idea. Do they still have that information? Yeah, I don't know. You know, but you know, you never know. You never know. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of things to wonder when it comes to the data. I think the big thing is convenience for us and for Google. It's information. That's the big thing. We love the convenience. They want the information.
And on the other hand, I guess looking at the other side, everybody else is doing it.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you talk to your cousins, you talk to your sister, your brother, whoever it is.
Yep,
everybody's feeding the machine and everybody's just okay with it. But the question is, do they know what's happening? And that's kind of one of the reasons why we did this episode, because do you know? And if you're listening and you got questions or things that are popping up in your head, I think this will hopefully add more questions.
And I think that's the thing, you know, it's, we want to make sure that people understand how the information is being used.
Yeah.
You know, every day you open up, you know, you take your phone out, you look at it, you're taking a picture, you're taking a selfie, you're sending a photo off. It's all just there.
Right.
But do you ever stop to think, why am I not paying for this? Right? You know, like, sure, I paid for the phone, I'm paying for the internet access, but did you ever, think what's happening with that information?
Right.
Where is it going?
You know,
is it ever going to be used again? You ever read those terms of service? No.
And we'll get into that a bit. But for now, let's just focus on Google for a bit, because Google is its own thing.
That's right.
Now, one of the first things, well, I guess I've known for a while, and I guess, you know, talking with you, we've kind of, I guess, had our own theories of what's happening. But, you know, it's more and more that you see these kind of predictive texts, and it seems that it's almost like mining through your data, because, like, I'm looking at my, like, appointments and stuff, and the appointment's already added on my calendar.
There, or
I'm typing my email, and it already knows the phrases that I typically use,
because
it's all grayed out. It's like, hit tab, it already puts it in. It's like, wait a second.
Well, if you think about it, look at how, I mean, I know we're kind of focusing in on Google, but to be honest, Google is the big one that's there. And
and
we don't think about it, but let's look at Gmail.
Yeah.
Google Drive.
Yeah.
Everything. I mentioned you, Google Voice. Yeah. All of those different things. This is the machine. They have a profile. They understand who you are. So just like you say, you type that email out, it already has a general idea what you're going to do. Like, if you really think about it, and, you know, again, I'm going to start to nerd out a little bit here, but it almost knows what you're thinking before you think, before you type.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting to that point now, right? So you wake up in the morning, you're about to send an email to maybe your wife, your girlfriend, or a cousin. Mm-hmm. As soon as you type that name in, oh, okay, I think you're probably going to do this.
Yeah.
And somehow, 90% of the time, mm-hmm. kind of knows what you're going to say. Mm-hmm. And you have to think, it's learning.
Yep.
You know, I hate to use that word, it's learning. You know, it almost has a bit of a Skynet kind of feel to it. But
it's machine learning.
There
that's,
you go.
That's the term I think now. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
And I mean, another way to look at it, I mean, of course, they're taking all us everyday people and taking the data there. But also, like, the bigger financial engine for Google is mm-hmm. really the Google Ads.
Right.
And I know
that's
you've
right.
explained it to me in detail. Maybe you can kind of explain that.
Look, what Google Ads essentially is, it's a monetization system that allows Google to sell services and sell ads. So if you think about how ads were done in the past, you opened up your magazine. The magazine may have ads about a certain item. They're hoping to target you and hoping, well, when you open that gamer magazine, that, okay, you're probably a gamer. You're probably going to have these types of ads in there. You look at TV. You're watching a type of program. They hope that it's a certain type of person watching, but it's not 100%. Now, let's take it up a level to Google. If you think of how early Google got into the game,
mm-hmm.
In some ways, they were ahead of the game. They always seemed to be a little bit ahead.
Yep.
And what they did was, you know what? The money is in ads. If you think about it, majority of their money,
yeah.
still, I don't know what the exact figure is. I'll probably have to get it. Maybe in another show, we'll spend a whole time on just Google Ads and just their whole system.
Yeah.
But the majority of their money comes from ads. And so what does that mean? That's their focus. If it's their focus, they need what? Data, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
How do you get data? You need some Gmail?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, do you need a phone?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, maybe we're going to give you some services, some assistant. Talk to your assistant. Here's a Google Home. All of this information is feeding into the system. And so what it allows them to do is better target you. Now, you may think, you don't even think about the ads that are showing up online. Sometimes you're thinking, oh, that's interesting. That ad seemed to kind of know what I wanted.
Yeah.
Would you ever think about it, right? When you're typing in Google and you're doing your searches, that's too easy, I think.
Yeah.
Like, let's just talk about your phone, right? Your phone is constantly connected. You decide to drive. You're driving a certain route every time.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, you know, it kind of knows, well, you know, this is somebody who likes, I don't know, give me a product, any type of product. You like radios and, you know, you like those old retro radios and stuff like that. All of a sudden, an ad pops up. How does it know that? Because it has a profile of you. It understands mm-hmm. that. You know, they've talked about even in the future. I shouldn't even say in the future. It's a lot of this is happening now where
yeah.
they can really hyper target you. I can tell you a story of something that happened. I was at home.
Okay.
And, you know, on Friday nights, you know, myself and my kids, we have a bit of a tradition. We watch YouTube. You know, we go through and watch different videos, and I'll never forget this ad that came up. And I use a lot of Google services. I won't lie. Like, I'm concerned about a lot of things, but there's certain things, you know,
yeah.
they do. And we were sitting there, and an ad popped up. It was an ad of a dog. The dog started talking, saying, hey, you. Yeah, you. You with the beard, right? Yeah, you're looking really great in that beard. And I can tell you, my kids. Yeah, this is a true story. I kid you not. I got served an ad. It almost felt, again, my kids, they ran out of the room because, I mean, I do have a Google at home and all
yeah.
that, but the ad was hyper-targeted to me.
That is insane.
Now, I kind of figured out what's probably happened because I said, you know, I had only just a couple of days ago, I was talking about the fact that I'm going to, you know, I was thinking of getting rid of beard mm-hmm. and doing something different with it. And this ad targeted me with beard oil and said, hey, you're looking great. You can use this beard oil and all
wow.
that kind of stuff. It was really hyper-targeted. And I kind of thought about it and I realized, no, maybe a day before I started taking selfies of myself. Now I did, I was, you know, saying things about myself and all that. I mean, there's always this little thing where I'm saying, is Google listening to me?
That's insane.
I can't say that they are. We do know that they record
yeah.
information
yeah.
When you ask it, but that ad was targeted to me.
Yeah.
Now, I can't imagine how expensive that would have been for that person who mm-hmm. paid for the ad, but that's mm-hmm. how generally the ads work. It doesn't matter if you're going online, if you're on your phone, if you're playing a game. It could even be, sometimes ads could even be adjusted. Mm-hmm. You know, they retarget you. Yep. You know, maybe they know that you went into the Best Buy and okay, I served you an ad. You went into the Best Buy, but you didn't buy anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you always kind of wonder how they kind of know that you buy. Sometimes there's little triggers. You go home, you start checking prices and stuff mm-hmm. like that. It's still recording.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this person still hasn't made a decision. Let me retarget you. Oh, and by the way, this is the best part. Let me retarget you with a better price.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
I love those emails when it comes back. It's like, oh, this is on sale. How did you know I was looking at that?
You know, it's just kind of strange, you know, that you know that I just happened to be looking. Well, I was just on the website. And this is not only Google. As you know, Amazon has ads.
Yep.
All of the different services, Facebook has ads. I mean, the Facebook ads, they're into the game. They all know that this is where the money is. And why? Because it's all about data.
Yeah.
It's the big thing is data. Yep. So that's really what Google Ads is and, you know, everyone else coming along the lines, right?
And I mean, yeah, they seem creepy. And it, just like you pointed out, Facebook.
They're gonna get creepier.
Yeah, absolutely, the beard ad's pretty creepy. I don't ever want to like get an ad like that. I'll just freak out.
Start pulling out all the network cables.
I'm gonna be like in the woods at that point. So we mentioned about Facebook and we talked about ads. I mean, you might not think about this a lot, and we talked about you know you're posting your birthday post, you're posting wherever you are, and you know. Everybody's doing this hashtagging,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And basically what this is a form of indexing.
That's right.
Right?
That's
you're
right.
Putting hashtag birthday time or hashtag, you know, we the North or something
That's
like
right.
that. You're telling people that, hey, I'm a basketball follower of the Raptors.
That's right. But you're also teaching the system, right?
Exactly.
So again, what can happen from that? Let's take Facebook, for example. You're in Facebook. You're tagging things, you're following people, so on and so forth. You're teaching that engine
exactly
who you are and
right.
what your profile is. Then what happens is they can turn around and target you.
Mm-hmm.
They can change things. I mean, we already know this has already happened. We're kind of talking about Facebook a little bit,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So what was the most recent thing that happened with Facebook? Cambridge Analytica, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to get into the politics of that because I really don't even want to go there. But we're talking about a company that had allowed their data to be used, and they used ads, different things that were done on the platform to shape people and how they were thinking. And now that shaping could only happen if they have information about you and they understand who you are. They know that you like certain groups, you like certain products. I can maybe get you connected with somebody else. So this is why data is so important. You know, there's that general term I think we were talking about at the beginning before we started this. We were talking about the new oil.
Yeah.
I'd almost think it's almost more than oil. I almost feel like it's like the life source for these companies.
Yeah.
I don't think they can operate properly. Like if I tell you tomorrow, you know, I have this platform and it's called Facebook and you can use it for free. We're not going to have any ads. We're not going to have any of that. How are they going to make money?
Right.
And this stuff you have to think about. That's the thing about this whole podcast. Think about it. What you're doing online and what you're feeding, what you're indexing, what your hashtag. It's important, though, because, again, we're not going to get rid of it anytime soon, right? I think we just have to kind of hold them, at least try to keep an eye on what we're doing online and also make sure that whether it's our politicians or different individuals that they're making sure to maybe regulate, maybe that's not the right word to use, but trying to do something to make sure that everyone's playing by the same playbook.
Yeah. And we talk about everybody and it's not just the big two that we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think about any of the kind of social media, because we're talking about social media at this point, your Instagrams, your, and even this big thing that's happening now, the face app,
right?
Right? I mean, you're basically taking photos of yourself. You're aging it.
Yep.
Right? You're using your own phone to process this data for you or for them. And it's basically facial recognition at that point.
It is facial recognition. But the interesting thing about it is, and it's something I was reading about the app, is you don't actually even think. Like most of the time, you know, in the old days, you take your software, you install it on your computer, you know, you get your disk, you get CD.
And that big first you know? Windows, the terms of use.
There you go, the terms of use. So we install all of these things. You know, you go to the app, you go to the app store and you just download it and nobody reads the terms of service. Yeah. Why? You know, it's, I want to age myself, right? And people get really excited because you can actually see, especially with FaceApp. FaceApp has been around for a while, but for some reason, why did it all of a sudden blow up? Well, hey, there were actual actors and people, you know, influential people who were actually starting to use it. And then everyone's getting excited. And then what did they do? What did you use the word? Hashtag?
Yeah.
You know, everyone started using a hashtag. Everybody was aging themselves, but they were aging themselves, not even thinking. And that's, I think that's probably where we kind of failed in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody was thinking about the app and where the data's going. Mm-hmm. We just wanted to age ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, there's an interesting thing I wanted to read to you. I took a note of it, right? Yeah. Because I had to read some of it to you. And this was from the terms of service for the Face app.
Yeah.
Which, again, I think I've heard they're planning on making changes because this is all really blown up. But it says, you grant Face app a perpetual, you know, non-exclusivity, royalty-free, worldwide. Now, let's go back to that word royalty-free. Just think about that.
Yeah.
You've given them a picture of yourself, and they're basically saying, we now own your photo. Well, let me take that back a bit. You own the photo, but we're just letting you know we can use it however we feel.
Okay.
All right. And look, they're not the only ones, right? All of these different companies talk about the fact that, you know, no, we only keep it for 24 hours, 48 hours and such. But if you think about that, I mean, this, years ago, this came up even with Facebook. If you remember, there was a point where they were thinking about saying, okay, all of those photos that you uploaded, we're now allowed to use them for, Gerber bottles and different things like that. I mean, can you imagine that? You've uploaded photos to the system and they're basically saying, okay, we can use your photos whichever way we want. And again, this is going back to thinking about what you're doing with your data, right? And understanding maybe not telling you not to use these apps, but you kind of have to take some precautions. Think about how you're using the application, what you're doing, so on and so forth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And those terms of use are important for understanding that. And I remember in the span of time that I've used Facebook, because I think I used it even before they released it to the general public, how many times that they changed the terms of service on it.
Wow.
And during that time, I was just like, okay, whatever.
Did you read it?
No, I didn't. That's the thing. It was just kind of like, okay, everybody's doing it, so whatever.
Yeah. It's back to that trust thing, right?
Yeah.
I think you said this earlier on. You said, well, my brother is using it or my sister is using it. My friends are using it, so it must be okay. And it's almost like a mass. It's almost kind of like everyone, you just kind of follow. I think there's a term for that. You know, you're just kind of following everybody else.
But the thing is, once you educate yourself more on this kind of stuff, then you kind of take a step back. It's like, okay, hold on. What am I posting? I'm going to start deleting stuff until you realize that nothing is ever really deleted. It's not. It's still there.
It's amazing that people still think that. Well, I've removed it from online.
Like, have you ever actually tried to remove any of these kind of social media accounts? Because if you do, you'll find that you can easily reactivate it. Then your deleting becomes like, well, it's still there. What happened?
I think I was amazed at once. I don't know if it was Facebook, but I think I deleted one because I had two accounts running and I deleted one because I, you know, they don't actually have a tool to merge.
Yeah.
And I remember going back into it and everything is still there. Hold on 1 second here. I thought I deleted everything. Why is it still there? You know, so these are the kind of things people don't think about, right? Yeah. It's sitting there. Sure, you know, are they going to do anything with it? Maybe not. But how many times have we heard about people hacking systems, data leaks, all of these different things that may be happening? And that's your data, right? And you got to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Once somebody has that data, sure, I trust Google, right?
Right.
You know, I do, generally. I do trust them, but are they taking the precautions? You know, you hope they are, right? But even with the recent, I believe Facebook was fined $5 billion, but that was for something very specific. But if you're looking at it, what precautions are the different companies taking? You can hope they're all taking the right precautions. They're mindful of your data. I mean, it's their business to do that. But I think you probably noticed this also. Even though it's their business to do that, when different companies do fail, it seems like everyone still goes back to the same place.
That's true.
Because we're used to it. Exactly. Are you going to go back to paper and pen and, you know, taking pictures with a Kodak camera and stuff? Or are you actually just going to take your phone out and take some more photos and upload them to Facebook?
I think that's where the hesitancy becomes, depending what the data is, right? When we think about Facebook, we think about social kind of things. We think about, you know, again, I go back to the birthday example. I go back to the friends' parties. And when we're talking about, you know, important data like health records, social insurance numbers, and banking things,
banking is
right?
a big one, too.
When you consider that stuff, that's when everyone's a hold your horses. Okay.
Well, that's the thing, right? I think we're in a place right now where we, as a society, we're used to doing things a certain way. So there's this expectation, well, in healthcare, we should be doing the same thing. Or in banking, we should be doing the same thing. It should just be as easy. But there's a danger with that. There's a reason why there needs to be things in place to protect that. Because when that information gets into the wrong hands, what's going to happen?
And sometimes you don't really know who are the wrong hands too,
that is
right?
True.
One of the things right now in healthcare, when they're talking about data, is where is the data sitting?
That's true.
Right. So we're in Canada, right? And one of the things that in health records, they ask, you know, where's your data sitting? Is it in Canada or is it in the US? And I know before, and you've educated me in this kind of sense, like in terms of just, you know, simply web pages, you know, Canadian versus US web pages.
Totally different, right? You have to think about, you know, even when doing a website, a lot of people don't think about the host. You know, I just had somebody recently and they said to me, you know, could you recommend a couple companies? I said, I asked them, where's your business? Where are you, you know, who is your targeting? And they said, well, I got a good price on company A. Well, that company A was in the US. And I said, well, okay, if you do that, that's fine. But just note, in certain situations, they will, they are allowed under the provisions of Homeland Security and different things, they can have access to that information. Is that okay with you? Right? Now, if you're okay with that, that's fine, right? But it's something to think about, right? Because our laws here in Canada may be a little different, right? Maybe you have a site that is doing something in particular. You have to think about, where is your data being housed? Some of these free sites, these free companies, applications, right? All of that information, FaceApp, the data has to reside somewhere. Now, I think with FaceApp, I believe I'm correct with this, it was actually with Google and Amazon cloud services. But again, does anybody read the terms of services to know where that data is residing? It may not even be in North America.
And the other thing, the other layer on top of that is, who is holding that data? The entity that's holding the data. So I came across this case where they said, oh, the data is in Canada. And I'm like, okay, who's holding the data? It's on the Azure cloud. Now, if you don't know, Azure is a Microsoft, Microsoft's cloud. So ultimately, Microsoft owns that data.
Owns the data.
Or at least the servers where the data sits.
That's right. And you're having to hope or trust that they're doing the right thing to not access your information, do anything with that data, and so on and so forth. So this is all of the different things that you have to think about, especially in healthcare, especially in banking, these industries where there is personal information, critical information that in you do not want to necessarily get out. I mean, could you imagine if there was a data leak in healthcare? I mean, not to say it hasn't, I'm not even, you know, I'm not to say it hasn't happened already, but could you imagine a data leak and all of the personal records of somebody got into the hands of company X? You hope that company X is, well, you know, we got your data. We're so sorry. We're going to return it to you. Or does company X decide, hey, insurance company number Y, hey, we have this information. How much do you want for it? Not saying they would do that, but you have to think about these things because you don't know where company Y is. You don't know, you know, and these are the questions you got to ask questions.
Exactly.
Don't assume, right? Exactly. Always, be mindful, because in the end you could be liable, especially if you're holding patient data, banking information, all of that stuff. Think about what you're doing online and what would happen if it got into the wrong hands.
Even simple things like, you know, when you're doing your ordering on any kind of sites, mm-hmm. you're putting in any number of sites, your mm-hmm. address, your phone number, mm-hmm. Your credit card information, right? And it makes it easy for people called data brokers mm-hmm. to really sift through. And it's not only, you know, these sites where they're ordering, maybe it's even the library's website or something like mm-hmm. that, public sites where they can go and comb through this data and collect this profile of you to kind of off to people.
Well, a lot of times people don't even realize, and this happens with some companies, it happens with one particular bank, I'm not going to say which one, but even when you sign up, all the different papers that you sign, there's actually a little small stipulation there saying that they can sell your information. Right? Okay. It's a very small thing. It's kind of right. like when you sign up for a newsletter.
Yeah.
Are you okay for a museum? Who reads it?
Yeah.
You know, you just get your bank and you go through all of that and you don't think about it. And all of a sudden you're getting phone calls or you're wondering, how are they getting my information or whatever it may be. It's stuff to think about. I think when we're saying it's all bad, I think we can kind of go into the point of saying it's not all bad. I think it's just making sure, which we kind of touched on it. I think it's just, you know, being careful with what you do.
Okay.
Be mindful of what you do online. And taking care of you to understand how your data is being used. Those are the big things.
Let's go with that. So at the end of the day, I know we've talked about all these, I guess, I don't want to say it's doom and gloom, but at least making you aware of mm-hmm. kind of the things that are out there, what people are doing with your data. I mean, is it all bad? I mean, ultimately, the convenience of the world of clouds and blockchains and That's bitcoins, right. you know, it's sort of winning out. So it's hard to kind of turn your back to it. And really, there are a lot of companies that kind of have to weigh out costs. I mean, of course, you're not going to see a startup company start their own email servers to keep all their emails mm-hmm. private. Good chance that startup is going to start out with a Gmail account or something.
But that's right. And I think the thing is to take away from this, it's not all bad. There's a lot of good in the products that we're using. It's made our lives easier. You know, I can turn my phone on. It tells me the weather, tells me different things, lets me know that, you know, hey, there's an accident down the road. These things are good, but you just need to understand how your data is being used mm-hmm. and how to protect your data. Right. I think the big thing is if you're aware of those things and the things that you need to do to protect your data, you'll be fine. And also just take some time to educate yourself. How does your phone work? Do I need this particular thing on? Do I need this service?
Do I need Candy Crush 1 and 2? Yeah.
We're going to let that one go, aren't we? No. You know, but I mean, we don't think about these things, right? Games actually are one of those big things. Do I need these games? Mm-hmm. You know, when the game installs, I mean, this particular happens a lot in Android, you know, it wants permission to certain things. Do I need to give it permission to my photos, my phone, you're my laughing because you know your contacts. The contacts one always gets me when, you know, you're playing, let's say, a game and it's sort of like, why do you need access to my contact?
Oh, no, you are not calling my mom.
They don't need to know I'm playing this game.
So, yeah, we covered like the major questions like where is your data, you know, mm-hmm. U.S. versus Canada. And like that applies to like a lot of the laws that are going with That's that. Right. I mean, when we talk about healthcare, I know there's PIPEDA.
Well, actually, don't even forget in Europe, they have the GDPR too, which is a big law. And you can see even mm-hmm. Google, a few companies have been hit because they have not been in total compliance. So All of these places we're starting to see, you know, laws being crafted. Companies or governments actually in particular are being more mindful of how the data is being used and how it can even be used against them.
Right. And another important thing is who controls the data or who has access to your data.
That's big key.
Yeah. You're probably not going to know right off the bat. You're going to have to Google that. But I mean, you're going to have to Google that. there are a lot of articles out there about Facebook particularly. Like mm-hmm. I got really educated between that and how many companies really touch the data. It was insane.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Between all the different terms of use, like every time there was a flip, you would see some, you know, top companies in there like accessing, maybe influencing some of your decisions of what you're choosing to use.
That's a key word there too. So that's another podcast we can talk about is influence. You know, do you really want that?
And I mean, just remember that your data is never really deleted. That's because no matter if you remove your account and forget about it, you can always reactivate it. It doesn't matter.
And that's the thing. You got to think about it before you post it, before you put it up there. Think about it.
And generally, you just want to make informed decisions. One of the things that I learned a couple years ago is that, you know, teachers, police officers, all those people, they generally don't put their actual names on social media just so people don't follow them. You want to kind of take the same approach using social media. Mm-hmm. You just don't really want to put yourself all out there.
I think it's good just to, especially depending on the position that you're in, that you just be mindful of how that information can be used and how your personal info can be used.
So in general, I mean, you just want to stay one step ahead of tomorrow because really being informed, making those decisions, asking those questions, you just want to be ahead of
it. I think, you know, and that whole idea of being ahead is to think about it in this sense. You want to try to, don't be ignorant of it. Try to stay ahead, be educated about what's happening because Google, you know, companies like Google, they're constantly, we talked about this earlier, they're constantly ahead. They're constantly trying to, you know, be one step ahead. They know what's coming, so they have to think about how are we going to continue to monetize. You know, okay, it's ads today, it's maybe it's video tomorrow, maybe it's YouTube, whatever it may be, they're going to want to have their hands in it. And so we want to think about down the road where things are going.
So if you want to hear more from us, you can catch me on Twitter at MikeYuan82, or you can catch Manny at...
Look, I'm always online. I'm available on Twitter at IamMannyJ, and you can find me there and talk about a lot of different things. Engage with me. I like to chat. Trust me. Mike knows. I like to talk.
Until the next time, we're signing off.
All right. Goodbye.